Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. You keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight it's my pleasure to welcome Marie Rowe. She was guided by spiritual force and has followed the road less traveled. Her journey has taken her from England to Hollywood with many life-changing detours in between. Working on award-winning films and with famous actors as a producer, writer, casting director, and actress, she has been exposed not only to the glamour, but the egos and insecurities of talent. When people ask Marie why she has returned to England after such a glamorous lifestyle in California, she says, "I have returned to myself." She is now helping individuals discover their own I Am presence by teaching classes and guided autobiography. She also gives inspirational talks about her experiences working in film and television and the life lessons learned, and she has done psychic healings for others and for herself. So with that said, let me welcome Marie. And Marie, once again, how are you today?
Very well. Thank you, David. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Let me mention your website to the people, and folks, get out your pens and pieces of paper because I'm going to give you that information. She has two. One has to do with teaching classes and the guided autobiography, I assume, and that is thanksforthememoirs.com. And then her primary website is simply, it's also on the World Wide Web, it's simply marierowe.com, and Rowe is spelled R-O-W-E. So you can check those out at your own convenience, or now if you like. And so, Marie, let me turn this over to you. I'd like to hear how you happened to end up in Hollywood and what your spiritual journey has been about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, it's quite a journey, I think. I was born in Coventry, England, and like most people of a certain age, we went to school. I didn't go to college, left school at 15, and started working very early. And I'd learnt shorthand at school, and that opened doors for me. I would say that opened doors for me in Hollywood, but I didn't know that was going to happen for many years. I'd studied acting, so I did like to act. But basically, I was a secretary, and I did acting, amateur dramatics and so forth, and then I got married because that was probably the thing to do, get married and have children. But it wasn't the path for me. I always wanted to travel. And so I actually got divorced after just a few years, and I decided to travel, and I became an au pair in Switzerland. And I intended to come back to England to go to university to teach theatre in education. Because I studied acting, it gave me a voice, because I felt that I grew up with this little girl should be seen and not heard, and I felt very insecure, and I really didn't feel that I had a voice. And so that was my intention. But prior to that, after I split up from my husband, I tried to end my life. And I'd gone to a spiritualist church with a friend of mine, and I'd met this wonderful woman. Her name was Simone, and she was French. And she was marvelous, and she was a person who could manifest diamonds from her eyes. She could make tears, and little diamonds appeared. It was amazing. I mean, I saw it, so I know it was real. They weren't real diamonds. They were kind of a crystal, but it was a real crystal. It wasn't just a fake tear. So anyway, when I tried to end my life, I was unsuccessful, and I called her. And I asked her, I said, am I going to be happy in the next life? Because I'm not happy because I've gone through, you know, just going through a bad time with the husband and not being happy. And she said, oh, I don't know, dear, she said in her French accent. She said, you might get run over by a bus for all I know the next life. And I said, oh, well, that's not very reassuring. So she said to me, no, she said, you have a wonderful life ahead of you. She said, you need to live the life. You need to go ahead and live your life because you do have a wonderful life in front of you. And that was so encouraging for me, just her saying that. I mean, if she said anything, the fact that she said you might get run over by a bus, it brought, you know, it's bring you down to earth kind of thing, but... Anyway, so I decided to, so I'd applied to university, but they couldn't accept me until the following year. And that was to teach theatre in education because I thought drama gave me a voice and I wanted I thought children need self-expression. So many children don't have an opportunity to really express who they are and because they're shy or they're being held back for whatever reason by parents or what have you. So that was my intention. And this is how spirit works. You know, you think, oh, this is what I'm going to do and this is the plan. Anyway, I was accepted at university even though I didn't have all the qualifications, but I was a mature student at that point. I was 26. But they couldn't accept me until the following academic year. So I thought, well, I'll just kill a year. So I went to be an au pair in Switzerland. And I was there 3 months and I hated it. And then ended up working for the American Army in Germany with Vietnam War veterans. It was an army hospital in Bad Cannstatt, Germany, which is near Stuttgart. And I was the drug abuse secretary, and I worked with these young men who were, they had drug problems, and instead of going back from Vietnam to America, they would send them to Germany to kind of clean up their act. Well, it wasn't such an easy thing to do, and the whole drug abuse program was really kind of an exercise in futility, really. It was a bit like MASH at this hospital in Germany. And it was, anyway, that's quite a story there. But the fact is, when I was there and seeing all of this pain that these young men were going through and the horror of war anyway, but certainly the Vietnam War. I mean, I grew up in England where we'd see the Vietnam War on the television and my mom would say, oh, it's that Vietnam War again, turn it off, as though it was a TV show. And now here I am in the midst of it. This was 1972. And here I'm meeting these young men and I'm working with them. And I was a drug abuse secretary and I didn't ever type a letter while I was there, but I took in samples of urine and had them tested for drugs. And then when the test came back positive, I had to have the soldiers hospitalized. And anyway, but because of this experience, it opened up a whole new world for me. And instead of coming back to England to go to university, I continued traveling. And having amazing experiences. I lived with Palestinian Arabs in Israel, and they had been uprooted from their rightful home, and I stayed with them because their son I'd met in Germany. And I also lived with French Moroccan Jews in Israel who were also very kind to me. So here I'm exposed to all of these situations where people are, you know, in pain. It's real drama. And I thought, well, this is life. And I thought, yes, I could go to university and work with children to help them self-express. But I felt I needed more self-expression. I needed to know more about me. And when you travel and when you're living with in different countries and you're exposed to different cultures, you learn more about yourself. And so that was kind of, I suppose, the beginning of discovering more about who I was through different situations. But not being afraid. I always say I lived spontaneously without fear because I always feel I'm protected. You know, I feel that, you know, God protects me. I never had any fear. People say, well, weren't you afraid to do this, afraid to do that? I said, no, I wasn't. I always felt that I was being taken care of. And maybe it's a blind faith, but that's the way I've lived my life. And anyway, I can keep talking, but does anyone want to ask me a question? Or how does it work, David? Do you tell me?
Well,
or do you want to ask me anything?
Well, I'd love to hear about your spiritual journey. I'd love to hear about your experience in Hollywood and how you got involved in psychic healing.
Yes.
I always find that fascinating. And you had a bout with cancer too, didn't you?
Did, yeah.
Yeah. So those are a lot of things.
Sorry?
Those are a lot of things to talk about.
The things, yeah.
And we're going to want to save some time to take calls. We have three callers on the line, and sometimes some other people pop in. But, you know, let's talk for another 15 or 20 minutes and then see what the callers have to say.
Okay, all right. After my travels, I went back to England. And my brother died suddenly. He was 17. And, someone's calling me. This is too bad. Because I might have to take this call. I don't know. Sorry.
Well, if you have to take it, I'll play a song for the listeners.
Oh, just hang on. Yeah, just hang on. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I can't talk to you now, Ross. Can I talk to you later? Okay, thanks. Okay, bye. Sorry, David.
That's not a problem. Don't worry about it. Life happens.
Number that I didn't write, yeah, I thought. My brother died, and I kind of knew why he died. He was 17 and he had pneumonia and he was an angel. This was an angel child. And my father had died and when my brother was 8 and I was 20 at the time, there's quite an age difference. And my mother had put her arm around my 8-year-old brother and said to him, you'll take care of us now, won't you? John, his name was. And I had another brother who was 4. And so he had that responsibility after my father died and of taking care of my mother, which is too much for a child.
Oh, yes.
And, yeah, and he was coming up now to his 18th birthday, and he got viral pneumonia, and he died. And there was a reason for it. He just couldn't do it anymore because my mother was so dependent on him. And when he died, the nurse came to me at the hospital and said, I need to tell you something. She said, He was a lovely boy, and she said it's almost as if he wanted to die. He didn't have any fight in him. And I absolutely knew it on a spiritual level that his work was done now, and he couldn't handle the responsibility anymore. And he would have been going to university, maybe meeting a girl or a guy, either, and which would have broke my mother's heart because they were so attached. And it was too much for him. And I could see the burden on him. And in fact, we'd gone to see Easy Rider, the movie. And when we were coming out, there were tears in his eyes. And I said to him, "What's wrong?" He said, "Oh, it must be wonderful to be that free." You know, so are you all right?
I'm here. I just am muting because of the dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you sneezed.
Oh.
So I'd said that. So he said, you know, it must be wonderful to be that free. So he died, and I totally got, you know, why he had to go, because the responsibility was too much. And my mother, I told, you know, I said to her, "He's here with you," and she said, "He's not, you know, I can't hold him." I said, "But he will come to you, and he will give you a reassuring message. I know it." And then one night, probably 3 months after he died, she came to me and said that he was, she said, "I've seen John. He's in the kitchen." And I said, "Oh, okay." And she said he came to me, and she didn't believe. She didn't believe in all of that stuff. She said, "If there is a God, why would God take my child?" You know. And so I said, "Because his work was done. He was here for a reason," and all of that. And anyway, what had happened was she'd gone down to the kitchen and opened the door of the kitchen, and the fridge, and there was a light. What she saw was a light, and she said it was her son. And then when she said, "I'll show you." So then when we went down to the kitchen, the fridge door was open. Oh, she said, "Oh, it's the fridge door." Because my granddad lived with us. "Oh, your granddad must have got up." But the fridge door never stayed open. It always just closed. So it was a manifestation. It was John. It was my brother coming to reassure her, to give. But so, I mean, I know that spirit is very real. Anyway, what happened was I emigrated to Canada shortly after that, and I felt kind of guilty about leaving the sinking ship, so to speak. I didn't have a good relationship with my mother, and I went to see her doctor and said, "What should I do? I'm supposed to emigrate to Canada. I'd got my papers." And he said, you know, "You're a young woman. You have your life ahead of you. You need to go, and your mother will recover." And so I did. And so I went to Toronto. I hadn't really grieved for my brother, because I'd had to be the strong one, you know, make the funeral arrangements and just be there for my mother. And then I fell apart in Toronto. And I got very claustrophobic. I couldn't be on the subway. I couldn't go into building. It was very strange. And really, I needed to see a therapist, but a counselor or something. But, you know, I'm English, and we don't do that. You don't go to therapy. You know, this was years ago, but you don't go unless you're crazy, you know.
Yeah.
But what happened was I went into this clothes shop, and this young man came up to me. He was French, from Montreal, and he worked, it was his shop, and he was saying about, you know, the beauty inside. He was saying, "Oh, you're so beautiful," and then I'm going, "Oh, gosh, here we go." and he was saying, "Inside, you know, the mind, there's so much to explore," and, you know, and he was talking about this organization called PSI Mind Development. And he asked me if I wanted to go to an introductory lecture. And it was the following Wednesday, and I went, because I was very open. And often this is interesting. When you're very vulnerable, and I was very vulnerable, and it could have been the Moonies or the Hare Krishnas, it could have been any cult, if you like, but it was this particular group that I was drawn to. And they were talking about psychic healing. and about everyone is psychic and everybody can do this. And they gave, they had somebody who graduated from the course in front of the class, and they were given a name of someone and where they lived. And on the blackboard behind the person was written the name and what was wrong with this person in terms of their health. And we saw, so the student would go through the body, the body, so you'd learn the skin dimension. You go into your what's called your levels, which is, it's like the silver mind control. It's based on silver mind control. So you meditate, so you go down. We'd use the colors of the rainbow to go down to our levels, which is a deep level of meditation. And there you have a workshop, which is all inside your mind. And in that workshop, you can do absolutely everything. You've got every tool available to you. And that's because, you know, it's our mind, you know, because we can create anything, we can do anything we want with our mind. So this was the idea. And so there's the skin dimension and then the bone dimension. And you're looking at a person with, and you've got a name and you know where they live, and you're imagining this person. And then you're putting your hands around this imaginary person in front of you, around the skin dimension, and you see a little white light blinking on part of the arm, and you say, oh, there's a light blinking, and the person who's leading you, who's got the information on the card about this person, will say, yes, that's right. And it could be that this person has eczema or has a broken arm. Anyway, it's fascinating stuff because, and then you learn the bone dimension, then you go inside the body and you take out the heart and you have the heart in your hand. And this is all obviously imaginary, but you can actually imagine and sense the beating of a heart in your hands. It's just phenomenal. Anyway, I was just blown away by this. So I took this four-day course, and they keep saying Sunday's coming, which is the last day of the course. And on this course, you have three cases that you're working on, three people. And you go down to 11, you have somebody working with you. And as they lead you into your meditation, into a workshop, then they give you the name of the person and you start looking at this person in a psychic dimension. And I had this name of somebody, and I found it was in front of me, and this all sounds bizarre, but I mean, this is what happened. So I went over his body, and this person had so many things wrong with him. It was unbelievable. I kept saying, well, he's got this, and he's broken arm, and I just kept seeing lots of things wrong with him. And the instructor kept saying, yes, that's right, yes, that's right. And when they confirm that you're right, you go, oh, you just get, it's such a kind of high in a way. Anyway, I was going through the body, and on his little finger, there was a black nail. And I said, he's got a black nail on his little finger. It looked like somebody trodden on it, and it, you know, had the nail goes black. And he said, well, I don't have anything here written down, but it doesn't mean it's not true. Anyway, at the end of doing the physical thing, you then take the head, the person's head, again, it's all imagery, you imagine, you take the head and you put it on your head. So you really are inside this person's head. And you're testing the eyesight and the hearing. And I did the eyesight and the hearing. And then when it came to the speech, I couldn't speak, but I wanted to speak. And I was going, oh, it's horrible, the noises I was making. But this person, this man, was desperately trying to speak. He wanted to speak, but he couldn't. And I was just my head was just hurting so much because I wanted to speak, but I couldn't. And I was getting distressed, so the instructor who's working with me said, okay, come back now, take the head off, come back. He was kind of freaking out because I was freaking out. So anyway, was crying when I came. I was so emotional. So I said, what is wrong with this person? And it was a man who'd been in a coma for 2 years. I didn't know that, but he'd been in a coma, and that's why he wanted to speak, but he couldn't speak. And anyway, it was just phenomenal. And his brother was in the class, and I went up to him, and I was, you know, obviously I was very emotional telling him, and he got emotional. I said, but let me ask you something. I said, does your brother have a black nail on his little finger? And he said, oh, my God, yes, he does. He used to be a rugby player, and somebody trod on his, you know, he was playing rugby, broke his finger, and he had a black nail. So that was one of many experiences I had in the class. It was, and then after that, we would meditate for 2 hours a day, and we were given cases to... Oh, and the thing is, when we saw somebody with something wrong, we would either zap it with white light or spray it with a magic healing lotion, all, again, imaginary. But when you're doing all of this, you're really praying. You're sending healing to a person because you're concentrating on them. And it really works. And I did it for a friend of mine. In fact, this was part of the training, the four-day training. They said, think of someone you know, picture that person and send them healing. And if you think they need healing, just send them light and healing. So I did it for a friend of mine. And anyway, the next day I said, how are you? She said, oh, you won't believe what happened. She says, I twisted my ankle on Friday night. And she said, it's awful. It was so painful. And she said, and then the next morning I woke up and there was no pain. It was completely healed. I don't know what happened. Well, it was a Friday night that I'd been thinking of her and just sending her healing light. I did not know that she'd hurt her ankle. Anyway, it's magic. I mean, it was so amazing.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a few calls, and then we can talk more about your further experiences.
Yeah.
Let's see what the callers want to say. Our first caller is Gwen. And Gwen, you're live.
Hi. I apologize. I'm on the bus, but it's a quiet bus today, so forgive me. I didn't want to miss your call. How are you today, Marie?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you, Gwen.
Good, good. My question is in regards to... it was a friendship with a gentleman, and we are no longer friends. And I can't say we're no longer friends, but the relationship really took a turn. And I'm having a hard time trying to clear my energy in regards to him. We work around each other, and he's very, very angry with me. And I need some help in trying to, basically trying to protect my energy from him. He drains me a lot, and I just, you know, I'm constantly having headaches. And even if he walked by me, I just pick up all of his emotions, and I don't want to do that anymore. So I need some help in clearing all of this and healing this rift between us, where it's where it's mature and it's we can agree to disagree, but he doesn't have to do what he's doing on an energetic level.
Yes. So and this is someone that you work with and you've had a relationship with, or?
I worked with, and we were in the process of starting a friendship, and things just went really, I don't know what happened. Things went really dark real quick, and I just saw a different side of him.
Yes.
That was pretty
dark.
You
have to protect yourself so clearly. Surround yourself with white light.
Yes.
Something you must do. And also surround him with white light. And, you know, every time you see him, just zap him with that white light.
Okay.
And send him love. I mean, that's basically what you do. But you must protect yourself by surrounding yourself with white light.
Yeah. But
okay.
Okay.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Still there.
I'm sorry. I'm here.
Yeah. Okay.
Hi, I'm getting
off. Yeah, I can't hear you very well.
Okay. Hi. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit. Yes. Yeah, better.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
That's
all right.
We it's okay for me, you know, if I just didn't think that it would take this type of turn. And which relationships happen in the end, and I get it, but this is something more than just being sad. I just feel like he really wants to really hurt me, but in an energetic way.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Well, that's why you just, like I said, you have to surround yourself with white light, you know, and you have to, like I said, pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly you've got to help. I mean, if he is sending you a lot of bad vibes, that's not a good thing.
No.
You know, I always think a lot of this past life, and I don't know whether you do meditate. Do you meditate?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah. I think it might be good to meditate on if you've had a relationship with him in a past life.
Okay.
And if anything comes up there. Because sometimes that might help, you know, clear the energy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I do think all you can do is to be able to send him love and send him light. And I know it works. It does work. And not to be afraid. You know, do you feel threatened by him?
I don't physically feel threatened by him, but I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable around him. And it's very rare for me to not feel comfortable around someone. I don't feel comfortable around him. I don't.
No.
And it's not that he would physically harm me, because we're not in that kind of relationship, but his energy is just so strong that it can, you know, I get headaches. I feel anxious. I feel a little nervous. I try not to walk around the office too much where I know that he's going to be. I really kind of stay in my cube where I feel that's where I feel the safest on an energetic way.
Mm.
I mean, he could just walk by me or even make eye contact. That it's not good. It's not good.
No.
And I regret, you know, ever, you know, wanting to build a friendship with him. I thought it could be. I regret it, and I had to tell him that, you know, I need to, you know, back up a little bit.
Hmm.
I've had to put boundaries
in place. Have you actually had a conversation
like
with him? Or how was it left? Are you able to have
had a conversation? The last time we had a conversation, and I told him that, you know, we didn't have to be friends because, I mean, he hasn't talked to me in a year, and we work together. He hasn't spoken to me in a year.
God.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, what? So I'm like, you know, we don't have to be friends. It's okay. We don't have to be friends. But as long as we're at work, we have to respect each other, you know.
Yeah.
But we don't have to be friends, you know. And he didn't like that.
Mm.
And we haven't spoken in a year.
Yeah. But you're seeing him every day?
I see him every day. Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
So I look at this, I'm like, yeah, something really, this isn't about me. I'm like, you know, this really isn't about me.
No.
You know, this is something else. This is not about me. But he's taking it out on me, but it's really not about me. Because
this is
too deep. This is, yeah.
Well, Gwen, I think we're going to need to move on. We do have other callers, but you've gotten some suggestions from Marie.
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck, Gwen. And don't give him the power. Meditate, send him white light, protect yourself.
Yes.
And, just meditate on it, though, and see what comes up for you. All right, good luck.
I think he has had a past life. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm having some barking from my dog, so...
How are you?
Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on to area code 917. I don't know this person's name. What is your name?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. How's it going today?
Sure, good. How about you?
Pretty good. I was just wondering
What is your name?
Sure, my name is Tim.
Hi, Tim.
How's it going, Dave?
Say hi.
Hello. Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my phone. I was just calling to see if you could give me any meditation or any tips where I can try to bring some new financial situation. Just anything in regards to me bringing some abundance or some new things into my life. If you had any tips, meditation or otherwise, that I could try to adhere to?
Well, I think, do you have a practice at the moment? Do you do any kind of meditation or praying?
Well, I've just started a grounding meditation, a morning grounding meditation, trying to visualize the chakras opening up with the colors and white light going through them.
Yes.
And then I just try to visualize a few different things that I like to bring into my life.
Good. Because visualization is I really believe in that. I mean, I've visualized jobs and I've done a lot of things like that. But you know what? You have to have this kind of knowing, this deep feeling within you. And, sometimes you visualize and it's more out there than it is inside. And I really believe the visualization, it starts within us. You know, we really have to embody it. And then it becomes real. And I think, what do you really want in terms of, what are your interests? Or do you have a job at the moment? Or
I do. I currently do. It's a source of a lot of stress right now. But I am happy to be employed.
Yes. What kind of stress is it giving you?
The overworked and underpaid with no appreciation.
See, that's the problem. I mean, I always think people need to be acknowledged and appreciated for who they are. And I think if you only got a thank you and every day after work, it would make a difference. But people don't seem to do those things.
Not at all.
See that? Yeah.
But okay, so I have to try to...
So, I can't hear you. Tim?
I said, okay. Yes, no, you're exactly right. People don't tend to do that currently.
No, they don't. And do you have anything that you do that gives you pleasure? I mean, any hobbies or, walks or nature, or is there anything that you have?
I have a few hobbies. I have a few hobbies that I do, which kind of bring me joy per se. So I've actually been trying to put myself in that space before I meditate, just thinking about my hobbies, things that give me joy per se, and then transfer that into the meditation so I can be in that mood, try to internalize
yeah.
and, like you said, believe more internally. Just like you said, I was
yeah.
listening to you saying there was a knowing that you always felt like you'll be taken care of, and I've been doing the opposite up until now. So I'm trying to not walk around fear-based and worrying about money per se and things of that nature, and try to develop that knowing that the universe will provide.
Yes. And, sometimes it's hard. You know, you go, well, they're not providing. The universe isn't providing. Why not now? You know, I believe we have lessons, and it's not in our time. You know, it's God's time. And we do have lessons to learn. And we're also teachers. So, you know, I think we teach people without really knowing it. And probably you're in touch with people at work, and you're actually probably helping somebody and you don't even know it. I mean, on a spiritual level. You know, and I think I don't know whether you have good connections at work, the people that you talk to or you can share. Do you have friendships at work? Or?
Indeed, I do. Okay, yeah, I do have some good connections.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's just good to be – connections are so important, you know, because, like I said, we're all here to learn from one another. It isn't really about the money and about, you know, yeah, we have to have money to live and to be comfortable and buy clothes and food and have a roof over our head. But if we have those simple things – that's enough. You know, so many people in life don't even have a roof over their head. And I think in America, because, you know, I lived there for 32 years, I'm in England now, and I know it's all about, you've got to work, got to make the money, got to be this, got to be that. And sometimes there's too much competition, there's too much, you know, trying to, you know, as we say here, you know, the Joneses, trying to get more than the Joneses, and, you know, the next door neighbors, you know, if they've got a new television, we've got to get a bigger television and all of that. I mean, so I think everyone can struggle financially, and certainly I've been there. And but sometimes if you just say, I'm fine as I am. This is, I'm happy as I am. It would be nice to have more, but I'm content with who I am right now. Because we're only in the now. We only have the now. And I think when you're at work, if you're not feeling appreciated, you appreciate yourself because you're a wonderful human being, because you were put here for a reason. You know, we're all unique and individuals, we all have something to offer. And that's why I say if you have connections at work, I feel that you are helping somebody at work. I don't know who it is, but I have a strong sense that there's somebody there that really values you, but they haven't told you that. Because I do feel it's important to be valued and for you to be valued. So,
okay.
Are you still there?
I'm still there.
Yep. Can you hear me?
Hello? We just lost him.
Oh, what a shame.
Sometimes
okay. Calls
drop. The studio does that. But at any rate, you certainly gave him a lot of good information, and he seemed to have taken it in. So we'll move on to the next caller from area code 347. And what is your name, please?
My name is Tamika.
Tamika, is it, or Tamika?
Tamika with an N like Nancy.
Okay. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Monika, did you say?
Tamika, yeah.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good. So, do you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to know what you see for me with love life and relationships. If you see anything like that coming up for me with anyone.
It's hard because I'm not, you know, I do psychic healing, but in terms of relationships, you know, I believe that there are people out there for us. And again, with the other gentleman, you have to love yourself first. And I know that seems like, you know, kind of a bit of a cliche, but it is. You know, I think, you know, take care of yourself and in every way possible, love yourself and know that you're perfect just the way you are, and you will attract somebody. And because there is somebody there out there for everybody, but, you know, I'm single, you know, I haven't had a relationship for a while, but I'm okay with that. because I feel, well, I'm happy with who I am, but we all want companionship, you know, or whatever, friendship, and perhaps more than that. But, you know, I think or to have a partner, I think it's important, because sharing is such an important part of who we are. But like I said, first of all, you've got to love yourself and know that, yes, there is somebody out there for you. And because that's the way the universe works, because God wants us to be with someone, to be sharing our love, because it's all about love. And we're not here just, yes, first we love ourselves, but then to share that love, it's just, that's what it's all about. And are you in a place where you are able to meet people?
I mean, sort of. I live in New York, but no one, I live in the suburbs, and there's really no one approaches me or anyone like that, so it's not really happening.
Do you work, or are you school, or?
I work.
And there's no one at work? Do you have friends at work, or?
No, I'm about to go to a new job, because the one I had wasn't that great. I didn't have any friends there. And I'm going to start a new one in a week.
Oh, good. That's a good opportunity for you.
Right.
Now, this is a door opening. You know, whenever one door closes, another door opens. And that's
mm-hmm.
a very exciting time. So this is exciting. I think this is really exciting for you, Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited about your new job?
Yeah, I am very excited about it.
Good. And you know what? You're going to bring that energy to that new job, and you're going to attract somebody. I know it. I just have a feeling.
Good. I'm glad.
I just have a feeling about that. That's good. I'm glad you told me about the new job, because I think it's very, promising. And, you know, just keep that vision of somebody that you want to attract. That, and list, you know, make a list. I always believe in writing down what you want, what qualities you want in a person. And, I believe you will attract that person. You know, someone who's going to cherish you and love you for who you are. And
yeah.
Take care of you, and not somebody who's going to, you know, want you to take care of them and do everything for them, who might not be a nice person, who, you know, may be a substance abuser. You don't want any of those. And you want someone who's good and kind, who's going to take care of you. And put that down on your list, and make a list. And I just feel very good about this new job for you and the people you're going to meet. And just
okay.
feel good about yourself. Okay?
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, that's helpful.
Oh, good, good. All right, well, don't give up.
Thank you for calling, Tanika.
Thank you.
Okay.
God bless.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Sorry to cut you off there, Tanika. Our next caller is from area code 323. And this is probably going to be the last call we can take unless it's short. Oh, we just lost them. Okay.
Okay.
646, you're live. What is your name, please?
Oh, my gosh, I feel so lucky. My name is Elisa.
Hi, Elisa.
Hi, hello. How are you doing today? Hi,
I'm
how
good,
are you?
Thank you.
Okay.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm in New York City.
Where are you calling from?
New York City, yes.
New York, too, okay.
Yes.
How can I help?
Okay, so, I'm not looking for anything romantic right now, and I'm listening to what you explained to the last caller in regards to what is it that you want in a mate. I do see someone that I'm going to meet. I see him. I have visions of him. I do see him. He's coming. But I also see that he might be, he's quiet in a way. But at the same time, there may be some issues with his relatives. I'm not too sure. Is it because of the person that he's attracted to? I'm not too sure. But I know that it will be issues. However, it's going to take the family some time to, like, believe, to overcome, or to for us to actually just, I guess, have a good relationship. Do you see that to be true?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you seem to have those insights, so that's wonderful that you already have kind of imagined that, you know. And so if that's what you have in your mind, you know, that could be true. You know, and I think it's so this is someone that you haven't met yet.
No, but it looks like I will be meeting him sometime, I guess, maybe late 2018 or sometime in 2019.
Well, there you go. Wow. So that's quite, yeah. It sounds to me that you've already, you're the psychic here. You know, we're all psychic. So really, you know, you just go within and meditate, and you just visualize the person, and you know, get in touch. Because we're all energy. So if we're all energy, we are all, you know, like it's electricity. So definitely, you know, I think that's wonderful that you've already seen him and you know the family situation and how you'll deal with it. How you'll.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry?
But do you know why they would feel that way?
They're not happy to have you in. What was the problem with their family? What was that?
I don't know why. I'm not too sure if they think I'm not. I don't know if they feel that I'm not good enough for him. I'm not too sure what it is, but I know there's going to be tension in the beginning.
Well, you know, if he is truly the person for you and he loved you enough, he's going to. You're going to be the main person in his life. So whatever his family says, it doesn't matter because he doesn't care what they say. He loves you, he wants you, and he doesn't care what his family says. It's not important.
Oh, okay. So
and
I'm not going to make.
No, I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay, I'm not going
about
to.
That.
At first,
no,
I was
the
worried
only one
about
for him.
Okay, so if that's the case, I'm definitely not going to worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything at all, Elisa.
Okay.
You just you get on with your life and it'll all fall into place.
Okay, so I'm just going to make some new changes for 2018 and enjoy life.
Absolutely. One day at a time.
Really, definitely.
Just enjoy every moment.
Okay,
okay,
I will. All right, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Okay.
You too. Good luck.
Thanks for calling,
Elisa.
God bless.
Bless. Bye.
Okay.
I feel like I'm the psychic hotline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, I'm happy, you know, I'm intuitive, so I mean, I'm happy to, you know, tune into people and, you know, enjoy it. Because,
yes,
you know.
You're very intuitive. And, you know, thank you for humoring a couple of the people that were looking for fortune telling, if you will.
Oh, that's all right.
I thought Elisa was really spot on to have those instincts or intuitions.
Yes.
That really speaks of something that is meant to be. And as you said, we're all psychic. And
yes, yes.
It's just that our gifts unfold in different ways and to different degrees.
Yes.
And we need to be patient with that and not try to force it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And what you said about meditation is so important, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the key, you know, to be able to tune in to yourself, first of all, you know, to know yourself and to know God, you know, because that's where it's all coming from.
Right, right.
So, know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
That's true, yes.
Yes,
I love that thing. Well, we've come to the end of the hour. We just have a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before we end the show?
No. I mean, I'm just happy to, you know, I just want to encourage people to just love themselves and live, just make the most of every moment. It's all about being mindful and living in the now and all the things that we know. And, you know, just be happy with where you are in life, because it's a great thing to be here and to be have friends, to be healthy and just to be kind. You know, just be kind to everybody, but most of all to yourself.
Yes, how true.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that.
Okay, David, you're very welcome.
Okay, well, now we're going to come to a close, and let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we're all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There's no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, and God bless.
Very good.